All of us have an intense desire to be loved, don't we? We all have that deep need of someone else loving us. It's one of the basic human needs, perhaps second only to our physical needs such as eating and drinking and shelter. When we think of what makes a person happy, yes, there are these basics of food and shelter and security, but what really makes us happy is to be loved. And it's been shown that it's essential to our physical well-being, our emotional well-being, our mental well-being, and our spiritual well-being. And a lack of it means we suffer in all these areas. And that need to be loved was in us from the very beginning. It's not a post-fall need. It's a pre-fall need. It's a need that God created us with. It's a need that's part of our human perfection. He made us to be loved. And that's why it's so serious that we see research and headlines repeatedly over recent years about what people are calling the loneliness epidemic. The loneliness epidemic. For example, in 2017, the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy called loneliness a public health epidemic. In 2018, the United Kingdom, seeing this great problem, appointed a minister for loneliness, cabinet position. A 2018 report found that 22% of U.S. adults felt deep loneliness and socially isolated. 2019, that number actually had risen to 61% of Americans feeling lonely. 2019, of course, brought COVID. And this problem of loneliness and isolation has only been worsened and multiplied due to many of the measures that were brought in, such as lockdowns and social distancing and self-isolation. And this loneliness is such a serious problem because of the impact, the effects, the consequences that result in us when we experience it. And I'm sure many of us don't need to be told this. We have experienced loneliness and isolation, and we felt things like the lack of motivation, the lack of self-esteem, the lack of identity, the lack of value that results when we feel so lonely. It results in a much greater incidence of mental illness and even suicide. In fact, the mortality risk for loneliness is the same as the mortality risk for someone who smokes 15 cigarettes a day. And it's been considered now equal to obesity in terms of the dangers to our mortality, our expectations of life. So you can see this is no small matter. In an article entitled "Understanding the Need to Be Loved," one public health academic said, "Love is a powerful tool in health. Anything we can do as health providers to promote its healthy emergence and vitality is critical to our work." How then can we find love and connection in a lonely and loveless world? How can we find love and connection in a lonely and loveless world? It's a question that the Apostle John had to struggle with himself. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, more or less a prison, for his faith, for his role in spreading the Christian faith. The Roman government came down hard on him and sent him into exile so that he couldn't be used anymore in this way. So what did John do in his loneliness and lovelessness? Well, he didn't focus on his loneliness and lovelessness. He focused on God's love. And he focused on connecting with God. And as he wrote this letter to others, other Christians suffering in maybe not the same degree, but to some degree or other, suffering lovelessness and loneliness, suffering in a hate-filled and isolating world, he knew that what they needed most was to focus, as he did, on the love of God and connecting with that love. That's what we see in this letter, and that's what we'll see especially in this verse. So how can we find connection? How can we find love in a lonely and loveless world? John's first answer is this: seek the Father's love. Seek it actively. Look at verse 1 in chapter 3. The first word is see. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. And obviously this implies that there has been a loss of love, because he's trying to find a love that will satisfy. And the love that he focuses on is the love of the Father for his children. Why is that such an important love? It's foundational to who God is. He's revealed primarily as God the Father. And it's foundational to who we are as made in his image. I've lost count of the number of times I've heard in various counseling meetings and sessions this sentence: my father never told me that he loved me. My father never told me that he loved me. It's incredible how often many problems come back to this basic need of a father's love. Some will say, well, you know, my dad never told me that he loved me, but I did see that he loved me. And that's, of course, that's good. Like, acts demonstrate love, but there's still no substitute for actually being told, son, daughter, I love you. And of course, for some people, it's not just that they never heard that or saw that. They experience the opposite. Abuse, abandonment, leading them to feel devalued, demeaned, endangered. Lost love. And that's why John here says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. He knows that in various ways, human beings have that experience of not being loved. And even if we've had a loving Father who has spoken his love to us, who has demonstrated his love to us, it's not anywhere near perfect. The most perfect Father is imperfect and cannot love us as he would like or as we need. We need something more than even the best earthly love, the best father's love. That's why, again, John's saying, see what kind of love the Heavenly Father has given to us. So here, John is basically saying there's a contrast, and I want you to see the contrast. This word, foresee, it's not a word that is simply like a glance, like you look and look away, as if it's just a very short glimpse of something. It's a word that actually means study, research, explore, examine, pause, and take it in. That's what he means when he says, see, meditate on this, research this, look, and look again. Look long, look deep, look wide at this love. This takes time and it takes attention. Two things that are in very short supply in our day, isn't it? Who has enough time? And even when we do have time, who has the attention to focus on something like this in any profitable way? But the interesting thing is, a lot of our busyness and our distractedness is actually related to our not seeing the love of God and in not seeing a Father's love in our lives. So many workaholics are workaholics because they are trying to find a value in their work. They're trying to find validation in their work that they never got from their dad. Others who are so distracted they don't want a second to think, it's partly because they just don't want to think about the reality of what was lost and lacking in their lives. And that's why, again, John says, look, overwork, distraction, these are symptoms of lovelessness and loneliness. And here is the cure. It's seeing, examining, looking at the love of God, the Father, for us. So, he's saying, focus your eyes, focus your attention, take time to be loved. Are we too busy to be loved? Many of us are. And therefore, John calls us, take time to be loved. But what if you're not a child of God in the deepest sense? Remember last week we looked at different ways in which God is our Father. The three in particular that are relevant to today are creational fatherhood, God being the Father of all that he made. Then there's covenantal fatherhood, God entering into a covenant with Israel in the Old Testament, his church in the New Testament, to be a father to us in the sense of providing the means of grace, providing promises to believe in, protecting us within the church. But then there's a deeper sense, the deepest sense of knowing the Father's love. It's deeper than creation. It's deeper than covenant. It is spiritual fatherhood and spiritual childhood. It means that God has come into our lives to give us regeneration, another birth, a birth from above, not just from our parents, but from him by the power of the Holy Spirit blowing into our lives. He's brought us alive spiritually and adopted us into his family. And that's, again, what John is really focused on here, that we should be called the children of God. It's focused on God coming along and saying, yes, you're my child by creation, and yes, I've entered into covenant with you, but here's something even more. I want to be your father, not just externally, not in an ecclesiastical way, but spiritually, really, in a living daily way. And so provides regeneration, so provides adoption. You say, well, how? Do I just wait? Like, do I wait to be regenerated? Do I wait to be adopted? Well, John has something to say about this as well in his gospel. In the first chapter of his gospel, he tells us how we can enter into this, how we can go deeper into the deepest experience of this fatherhood. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, we read, to all who did receive him, that is, receive Jesus, to all who received Jesus, who believed in his name, which is what it means to receive Jesus, To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's adoption. Who were born, here's regeneration, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Here he's saying is the way to experience God's fatherhood, God's fatherly love in its deepest, widest, longest, most wonderful, intimate way. He's saying, I've provided a son already for you to believe in. And you believe in him, you enter into my fatherhood in the most wonderful way. So this is a call to us, isn't it? Sonship is not it's not a reward, it's a gift. It's not something we earn, it's something that is a gift of grace. So where are you looking for love? Here John is telling us where to look, but where are you looking? Are you looking for love from people, friends, a marriage? Looking for validation and value, maybe in your work or some area of expertise? Here, God says, come here. You're looking in all the wrong places. See the kind of love. Look to Jesus and you will see and hear and find God's love. You will experience God's love. God's Son multiplies God's sons and daughters. God's Son multiplies God's sons and daughters. So if you are a believer in Jesus today, you are a child of God in the deepest way, the ultimate way, the greatest way. You come to this verse and you're invited into the fullness of it. As the apostle says, see, look, behold, examine, study, research, explore, walk around and see what kind of love, what manner of love, what the nature of this love is. And actually, the word for manner here is the word for extraterrestrial. It's out of this world. It's like nothing else you can experience in this world. It's coming from outside of it, into it. See and hear that we should be called the children of God. So seek the Father's love for the first time or the umpteenth time. But I'm a child of God and I don't feel it. I have believed in Jesus and yet I just don't sense it. Isn't that a common experience for the believer? How can I say I'm loved by God when I don't feel loved by God? How do we get to that? How do we get to enjoy the Father's love? Well, that's where we want to go in our second and last point here. We want to soak in the Father's love. Not just seek it, but soak in it. Emphasizing taking our time to bathe in the love of God. When John here is saying, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, notice the extra words on the end of that. They're not big words, but they're really important. And so we are. It's like he's writing theology and then he just exults. It's just, I'm amazed. And so we are. God's lavished this love on me. He's shown me it. He's told me about it. And it's true. So we are. And then he comes back to it in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now. This isn't something for the future. There's something even better ahead because he says it's not yet appeared what we shall be. But there's something here that we can enter deeper into. And so he's calling us to pause, isn't he? He's not just theology, 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 and then bye. He's like, theology, wait a minute. See that again. Think that again. Go over that again. This is what I am. This is what I am now. And I'm stunned, and I want to share it with others. See, John doesn't just state it and move on. He soaks in it. He lathers himself in it. It's not like a quick shower. It's a long bathe in the hot tub of God's love. He lies back, and he just luxuriates in it. He marinates in it. He lets God's love penetrate. He lets God's love change him, permeate him. Think back to the last time you were able to enjoy that in your own or somebody else's hot tub. You don't do a hot tub for a quick wash. You go to enjoy it. Just spend some time. Let it just raise your spirits. He's saying, don't just dip your toe in it. Come and plunge into this. I don't want, you know, a lot of us have hot tubs that we never use. Seemed a great idea at the time. I think we had one, and it lasted about 3 months before we sold it. Because we realized, well, no one's using it. It's out there bubbling away, all that money just going down the drain, all these chemicals. What's the point? But that's what we do with God's love, isn't it? It's out there. It's there. It's inviting. It's waiting. It's bubbling away. It's calling us. It's beckoning us. And we say, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I'll look at it, but on and on we go. No, he's saying stop and soak. And as you do, as you soak in the hot tub of God's luxurious love, what do you hear? And you need to stop. You need to pause if you want to hear him saying to you words of love. He comes to you when you see his love and you hear him saying things like, I love every part of you. I love every part of you. You know, there's parts of us, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, are parts of us we're pretty ashamed of. Parts of our body. God isn't. He loves us all, head to toe, inside and out. He doesn't love our sins, of course, but he loves us despite our sins. He sees past them. He sees to the one he made in his image and the one he redeemed by the blood of Christ. And he says, I love this. I love this whole person, head to toe. And even our weaknesses endear us to him. I love every part of you. And then he says, if you can listen carefully, you'll hear him whisper, I love you always. Always. Even when you don't get into my love and receive it and experience it and enjoy it, my love for you is still the same. It's steady. I've loved you with an everlasting love. From before you were ever made, before the world was even created, I had an everlasting love for you. I love you in the present. I love you regardless of your past. I love you all the way into the future and all the way into forever. I love you, all of you, and I love you always. Can you hear that? Let him speak it into you. I love you, if you listen carefully, he says, I love you when no one else does. When you don't love yourself, when your wife doesn't like you and your husband doesn't like you or your children don't like you and they've abandoned you and they've given up on you maybe, turned their backs on you, I love you. When you've lost a loved one to death, when you've lost a loved one maybe in a divorce, when you've lost your health, when you've lost all your looks, he still says, I love you. I love you when no one else does. And I want to be with you when no one else does, when you feel loveless and lonely. And then he says, I want you to feel loved. There's a love of faith, so you read this and you believe it, right? We're called to believe this, even when we don't feel it. But he wants us to feel it as well. It's not like a husband who says to his wife, well, of course I love you, you just have to believe me. And no, the husband wants his wife to feel loved and will do anything to make sure that's communicated and do nothing to jeopardize that. And so it is with God. He says, look, I don't just come to you and say, right, I love you, just believe that and we're good. No, he says, I want you to feel it. I want you to experience it. I want the Holy Spirit to shed my love abroad in your heart. I want you to come into my love and relax in it. Just de-stress in it. Reset, refresh. Just come and enjoy until you feel it. And I want you to be sure of my love. He doesn't want you, oh, does he, doesn't he? No, he comes along and he says to you, I have accepted you. I have forgiven you. I have adopted you. You are fully mine. I want you to be sure of that. I want you to be confident of that. I don't want you to have any doubts about it. Let him whisper that into your heart. More than that, he says, I enjoy you. I delight in you. I want to sing songs over you, as Zephaniah 3 puts it. Can you hear that? Can you receive that? Can you enjoy that? He wants you to. I want to be with you, he's saying. Withness is the very essence of love, isn't it? You can't have long-distance love. It's withness that really constitutes true love. He says, I want to be with you. Every part of life, every step of life. I'm unashamed of you. Do you hear that? I'm not going to treat you with contempt like maybe your father did. I'm not going to demean you. I'm not going to disown you. And I'm not going to walk away from you. No, I own you in the sense of I want people to know you're mine. I'm unashamed to be known as your God, as your Father. Doesn't matter what your past or your present has been, I am unashamed of you. And it's an unqualified love. God has no half sons or half daughters. You're a full son, you're a full daughter. It's a sacrificial love. Listen to him as he says, if I spared not my own son, how much more will I freely give you all things? You know, some of these hot tubs today, they have lights in them. You can choose the color, green, blue, yellow, flashing. Well, God's hot tub of love, it has a red color to it. It's the blood of Christ. It's the way he secures love for us and helps us enter into his love. And he says, I know you look at yourself, look at what you've done this week. You've gone into the mud and you've gone into the dirt. You've fallen back into that sin again. You've defiled your conscience and your heart and your eyes and your hands. So would you go and wash before you jump into this hot tub? Where? How? When? Can't. No. He says, don't go anywhere else. Just plunge straight in. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Just dive in fully under. Come up. And what will you see? Every sin washed away. Gone. Not just faded. not just needing another chemical, but gone. Soak in this love. Why don't you start with just 1 minute a day? We don't do that, do we? Just to take 1 minute out of our day to just soak in the love of God. And then maybe go to 2 minutes a day. Or maybe start with one of those truths. God loves every part of me. Or God loves me always. Or God loves me when no one else does. Or God loves me in an unashamed way. God loves me in an unqualified way. God loves me in a sacrificial way. You could take one of these truths a day, and it's a full hot tub in and of itself. There's enough to satisfy everyone and anyone in each of these truths. God loves you to death. God loves you through death. God loves you by death. And God loves you after death. Soak in this love. How can we find love and connection in a loveless and lonely world? Seek and soak in the Father's love. Seek and soak in the Father's love. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your amazing love and pray that we would seek it and soak in it until we are submerged in it. Keep us in your love and keep your love in our hearts. In this lonely and often loveless world, we pray especially for those who feel this keenly for different reasons today, that you, Lord, would be their Father in this beautiful expression of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.